morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This is the program where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. This morning our focus will be on politics and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, we try to explain why these things are happening, and more important even than that, try to explain what they portend for our future. Then, during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms by way of His covenant. We will replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you'd like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. If you live in America, you have no doubt heard the TV commercials produced by the Obama campaign claiming that Romney said that 47% of Americans were victims. The commercial ends by saying that Americans have earned whatever government funds that they are receiving. If that commercial plays to receptive ears, you would have been Eve, actually Chawa, in the Garden of Eden, but you wouldn't have known the difference between Eve and Chawa anyway. What the Obama commercial does is the very thing that Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He took a conversation out of context, one that he wasn't even party to. Then he misquoted God, and then he twisted the result to convey the opposite of what was actually said. That is not what Mitt Romney said, and more importantly, Americans have not earned the funds that they are receiving. What Mitt Romney actually said is that he was in the midst of a campaign rally, sitting down having dinner, and in the context of how you focus the energies of a campaign, he said that there are those people who pay no income tax, and my focus cannot be on them. 47% of Americans pay no income tax, so our message of low taxes doesn't connect with them. And so he was explaining why campaigning on lower taxes, encouraging more economic growth, thereby both putting more people to work and lowering the deficit, doesn't resonate with 47% of the people, and therefore in his campaign he has no chance of earning their vote. That's what he said. Now, the statement that 47% of Americans pay no tax is absolutely true. In fact, it's slightly worse than that. And it is what he went on to say, which we'll discuss in a moment, that is even more germane to the purpose of this program. On this program, we expose and condemn human institutions, politics, militarism, economic schemes, and religion, because until individuals recognize that these human schemes are erroneous, beguiling, and misleading, and that those who rely upon them, whether it is a government scheme, a patriotic scheme, a military scheme, or a religious scheme, that those who rely on them are expressly excluded from Yah's covenant. You can't have a relationship with God. You can't be saved by God until you are willing to walk away from your reliance on human institutions. Now, what we have in America is 50% of the country that is dependent, that has chosen or has acquiesced in one way or another to depending upon the government for their health, for their economic prosperity, for their freedoms, for their everything, whether it be food or health care or just economic payments, wealth transfer. And that's a problem that is killing the nation and killing those who are so reliant. And so we're going to spend some time on this. First, I want to turn to a New York Times piece that said that, and this is how it begins, Romney has distanced himself from the remarks lamenting the nearly 47% of Americans who do not owe federal income taxes. No, he's not. He has not distanced himself from those remarks. They might want him to, but he's not distancing himself. And Mark, and he did not say do not owe federal income tax. He says they do not pay federal income tax. But this particular article in the New York Times correctly then transfers and says, but his fellow Republicans help engineer the very tax breaks that have put many in that category. And little change is expected soon. This is true. There are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax, so our message of low taxes doesn't connect with them. Now, that is what Romney said. The article then would say the key reason, and this is not the key reason, but this is nonetheless the New York Times explanation, is the breaks in question, the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit, are based on core Republican philosophies of encouraging work to lift people out of poverty, Republican aides and many conservatives say. Now, that's only partially true. The tax credit is mostly a Democratic-sponsored idea with Republican support. The earned income tax credit is the way of disguising welfare. When Americans largely rebelled against welfare about a decade or so ago and lamented the fact of the fast-growing dependence on welfare, the Democrats and social engineers came up with a new scheme. That scheme would be called the Earned Income Tax Credit, the EITC. And so rather than limiting the recipients of welfare to those who earned less than $1,000 working in a year, in other words, to people who just don't work, they came up with a way of providing welfare to those who did work. And it's called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's income that's not earned, and it's not a tax credit. It's a check that comes as part of filing your income tax. The number of Americans not owing federal income tax has been growing since the mid-1980s, and the increase largely stems from expansion of these two tax credits. Now, that's partly true, but not completely true, and we'll examine why 50% of Americans don't pay any tax. Championed, these ideas, it says, were championed by Republicans from conservative economics Milton Friedman to the former President Ronald Reagan. Well, it is true that the child tax credit was championed by both of them. As for earned income tax credit, only in the sense that Republicans and Democrats are the same, are different sides of the same coin. Here's a statement. It's absolutely true. There is some degree of disconnect between complaining about the 47% and yet supporting the policies that brought it about, said economist Alan Variard of the conservative-leaning American Enterprise Institute. He is saying that Republicans in this regard are hypocrites, and they are. They have voted to enable these programs, and so to complain about these programs now when you are 50% responsible for bringing them about is hypocritical. The income credit began under Republican President Gerald Ford and was significantly expanded under Reagan. This is the means of replacing welfare, so it didn't look like so many Americans were on welfare, and that so it didn't look like the government's largest expenditure was welfare. They came up with a scheme of disguising it by putting it under the federal income tax system. Now, also, the child credit doubled to $1,000 under Republican President George W. Bush. In the secretly taped remarks, Republican presidential hopeful Romney was heard labeling the 47% not owing federal income taxes as people, and he didn't say that. He said there's 47% who don't pay tax, and therefore his low tax campaign strategy doesn't resonate with them. Perfectly sound conclusion of a factual statement. And then he said, they believe that they are victims who believe that the government has a responsibility to care for them. I don't know what percentage of the 50% of Americans who pay no tax think that they are victims, but when you look at people's behavior around the world and you get quotes from people who receive such benefits, in most cases, they do think that they are victims. You looked at, that's why I brought up the story of the riots in these last week's program in Greece, where they're all complaining that the austerity moves that have been enacted in Greece to try to bring down the growth of the deficit, the Greeks are blaming everybody but themselves for their economic woes. And yet it was the Greeks who broke the bank, who indulged themselves with all sorts of benefits that they were unwilling to pay for, that they put on a credit card and gave the bill to their children. It's economic pedophilia. And so do they, when they speak out, what do they say? They all claim to be victims. They say it's the other guy that is doing this to them. This article says he has since distanced himself from those remarks. That's not true. Saying in Tuesday's debate with President Obama, I want 100% of Americans to have a bright and prosperous future. That's not distancing yourself from those remarks. Only in a very twisted mind could that be seen that way, which tells you a great deal about the ideology and the agenda of those who work in the American media. Taxpayers claim an EITC, an earned income tax credit, with an income up to $44,000. The 2011 credit ranges from the earned income tax credit ranges up to $6,000 per taxpayer. What Republicans do not, this article says, what Republicans would do to put more people on the tax rolls remains unclear, and that is true. There is no talk whatsoever about what we need to do to fix the problem that gets more Americans paying some tax, contributing to the system. Because right now, we have a bankrupt democracy where over 50% of their people are voting each year to confiscate the funds of those who earn the vast preponderance of the nation's money. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're discussing the issues of governance and dependence upon one's governance, our ability to, as a nation, to equitably allocate the cost of what is appropriate for government, and then to properly allocate what the government should do as it relates to the needs of its people, and how dependent should we as a nation be upon our government, and contrasting that to Yahweh's prerequisite for the covenant, that if you want to be part of his family, you must walk away from your country. Walk away from your country. That was his first statement. That country happened to be Babylon that he was talking about, which is the epitome of the oppressive nature and the ungodly nature of human religious, political, economic, and military schemes. Now, so we return to Romney's quote. He said, these are the people. Now, he's talking about the his campaign strategy and how he is trying to tailor his message so as to be elected. He says, speaking of those who are unlikely under any circumstance to vote for him, he said, these are the people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect with them. My job, and of course now he's speaking in the campaign, is not to worry about these people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. So is it true? Do 47% of Americans pay no income tax? Well, actually, it's a little worse than that. Well, the number varies from year to year because the standard here is one penny. Over the past 4 years, 51% of those who filed tax returns paid no income tax, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a congressional committee. 51% of those who filed tax returns. Now, if you include all Americans, it would be much higher than that. But just of those who filed tax returns, 51% paid no income tax. Standard deductions now equal almost $12,000, and the four standard exemptions now equal about $4,000. Moreover, there are special benefits in the tax code to garner votes from seasoned citizens. The deductions to income, which yield zero taxes or even tax credits, are as follows. 44% of the blame, 44% of the reason that half of Americans pay no tax is attributable to special deductions that are afforded the elderly. If you are a seasoned citizen, 44% of the reason that half of Americans pay no tax is that they have been granted by the federal government to garner their vote a special deduction. 30% of the reason that half of Americans pay no tax is because of the dependent children exemption. 6% is as a result of exclusion for earned income tax credits. This is the new welfare system and other government monetary transfers to that individual. 5% is as a result of government bond tax-exempt interest, so it's just a way that the government can borrow the money that it is squandering more efficiently. 5% is a result of education credits. 5% is itemized deductions, most of which is home interest. 3% is for medical deductions, leaving 1% for capital gains and 1% for loopholes. You know, the media and the Obama administration having a field day with the fact that that Romney paid 15% of his income in taxes, even though it was in the millions of dollars, not understanding, not seeming to care, that capital gains is the exemption for capital gains, which is investing in the economy and holding that investment for more than a year, is the engine of the economy. And that collectively it is only responsible for 1% of the issues related to tax deductions. There's another 1% that is attributable to loopholes of one kind or another. So 2% capital gains and loopholes, all the rest are typically indulgences, especially those applied to the elderly. Now, when we return, we're going to speak about the number of people who do not pay income tax, and we're also going to speak about the dependence upon Americans, of Americans, upon their government. I'm Yada. This is Shatter. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are examining the problem that is crippling America, actually crippling the world, this dependence-based mentality where Americans and much of the world have become dependent upon their government, upon economic schemes, upon politics, upon patriotism, and rather than walking away from their country, they have grasped their country's hand and are now wholly dependent upon it. The number of people who did not pay federal income tax jumps every time there's a big tax bill, as it did after the 1986 tax reform and again the 2001 Bush-era tax cuts. You see, when the 2001 Bush-era tax cuts, which are all labeled at, they gave welfare to the wealthiest Americans, well, in 2004, Bush was boasting about the fact that his tax reform actually removed 5 million taxpayers, as to quote him, off the rolls. 5 million people went from being taxpayers to not being taxpayers. These aren't wealthy individuals, the exact opposite, who were removed from the tax rolls, no longer making a contribution. You see, in 1969, 12% of Americans paid no income tax. 12% in 1969. And that is when LBJ, you know, enacted his great new society. This would be a society that would be dependent upon government for all manner of welfare, for all manner of health care. Yes, the welfare society was launched in 1969. During that time, 88% of Americans paid federal income tax, 12% did not. So what's happened 40 years after the great society that was launched by LBJ? Well, in 2009, 51% of Americans made no contribution to the cost of running their government. About 30% of workers had a negative income tax in 2011. What is a negative income tax? That means rather than paying income tax, the government paid them, thanks to what's called the Earned Income Tax Credit, the EITC, which I mentioned before, which writes tax payers, I'll put that in quote, a check so that they're tax recipients. It's the ultimate in socialist wealth redistribution. Many, and it calls this, they'll label it as low-income workers, as opposed to many taxpayers, or tax filers is the term we should use, actually receive money through the tax code because of this EITC. So let's now just look at the percentage of Americans that are dependent upon government. We begin with this 30% of tax filers that receive the Earned Income Tax Credit. To that, there is 40% who rely on the government for health care, a number which is increasing rapidly and will soon top 50%. 109 million Americans are dependent upon Medicare, Medicaid, or the Veterans Administration, of which under Obamacare, if you look at both the increase in the Veterans Administration because of the two wars that we stupidly fought, or because of his radical increase in Medicare, or Medicaid, we're going to add a third to this number if the Obamacare policy is not repealed. 15% of Americans, this is now in addition to the 40% who rely on government for health care, 15% rely on America for food stamps. 15% receive food stamps. Some 47 million Americans. It too is increasing rapidly, having gone up from 35%, having gone up 35% just in the last 3 years. The 47 million Americans, an increase of 35% in the last 3 years. We have a train wreck here. The number of Americans on food stamps has grown from about 17 million in 2000 to 31 million when Barack Obama took office, to 47 million today. So in 12 years, from 17 million to 47 million. The program costs $72 billion annually. 4.1% receive welfare. You know, that number is down. Why? Because of the Earned Income Tax Credit. But it still totals $132 billion. 2%, or 6 million Americans, receive unemployment benefits. Another 4% have the government pay for their housing. This program increased 42% over the past 4 years. 30% of those who file tax returns receive this new form of wealth redistribution called the EITC. So while that totals 55%, if you add these numbers together on government recipients, a number of people are double dipping. So it's not quite 55% that receive government aid. Turning to welfare, it is so out of hand, and that, by the way, does not include Medicare or Social Security, that 50 to 55%. When you add those together, it's the majority of the Americans that are receiving funds from their government. Speaking, though, of welfare, while the program in most states has diminished in size because of the earned income tax credit system, which enables more people to receive government handouts, it has not been reduced in a number of states. California, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Washington, D.C., for example, pay the average welfare recipient more than the equivalent of $13 an hour. If they worked for $13 an hour and worked 40 hours a week, they would receive less money than they do for not working. Yes, Scott.
I'm sitting here thinking about all the jobs I've had in my life to where I wasn't paid $13 an hour, and
move to California, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Massachusetts, Connecticut, or Washington, D.C., even Hawaii or Alaska, and on average you will receive the equivalent of $13 an hour for not working.
Unfortunately, I don't think I qualify for any of those programs as just off my pure morals, myself, that I want to, anything I get, I want to make myself, so.
Well, we have a minority of Americans who share your view and want to be personally responsible. Now, let's turn to Medicaid. It grew from, now Medicaid is different than Medicare. Medicare is for the elderly. Medicaid are for the impoverished. It grew from 34 million in 2000 to 54 million in 2011. So over 11 years, it increased by more than 20 million dependents. One out of every six Americans. And now it's going to increase another 16 million when Obamacare becomes effective over the next 2 years. So it's going to go from 34 million to 70 million in a matter of 12 years. According to the survey of income and program participation conducted by the U.S. Census, now this is not some ideologue group out there. This is the U.S. Census. 107 million Americans are enrolled in at least one welfare program run by the federal government. Many are enrolled in more than one. Now that's about a third of the entire population of the country. And sadly, that figure does not include Social Security or Medicare. 107 million Americans are enrolled in one or more welfare program run by the U.S. government, excluding Social Security and Medicare, which are the two largest. I should also tell you, that number has increased by 10 million in just the past 2 years. So we're supposed to be coming out of this recession. Things are getting better. Well, that number has increased by more than 10 million in just the past 2 years. 61 million Americans receive Social Security benefits. 61 million. 20% of the population are being paid not to work as part of this program alone. Now, I know this would be the most controversial aspect of government welfare dependence, because the 61 million that receive Social Security, a significant number of those, will say that they earned their benefits because they paid into the system. But that's not true. Yes, the government deducted 7.5% of their income, and the government deducted another 7.5% from their employer, confiscating 15% of their income one way or another, either from the company or from the individual worker. But that money that was confiscated did not go into the program. It went into the general fund and was spent. It delivered services such as welfare and other kinds of services to people at that time. There is no Social Security Trust Fund. There are $0 in the so-called Social Security Trust Fund. The money that was paid did not go into the system. It was spent as part of the general fund in the year that it was collected. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Pure and simple. By any reasonable standard, it is immoral, and it is, well, It would be illegal. I mean, what does the government do? If you're convicted of running a Ponzi scheme, you're put in jail, unless you're the government. Social Security and Medicare are both Ponzi schemes, where the current recipients are paid by new enrollees. Now, for those who said, but, what am I supposed to do if I'm on Social Security? Am I supposed to just starve? No, you know, a well-run government, first of all, creates an incentive for people to take care of people. And so the whole notion of charity and of local communities taking care of people who need housing, who need food, who need the necessities of life, that's how that should be arranged and on a local basis. But we have Ponzi schemes that are way out of control. Medicare is only slightly less pervasive than is Social Security, with 51 million Americans currently dependent upon government-funded health care. But it's growing faster than Social Security and is expected to reach over 70 million in less than a decade. And to the 51 to 60 million over the next few years, we must add the 70 million Medicaid recipients to bring the total population dependent on the government for their medical bills reaching over 125 million people, 40% of the country. I'm your host, Yetta. We're talking about the number of people who are dependent upon the U.S. government as opposed to being dependent and reliant upon Yahweh, and therefore excluding themselves from the covenant as a direct result of their choosing to be dependent on their country. Now, is it a bit of an extrapolation to say that that receiving government funds and for whatever reason is being dependent upon your government, something that God, as a prerequisite, told us to walk away from? A bit, but it's not. It would not be inappropriate to say that most of those who receive significant parts of their wherewithal, whether it be health care or housing or food stamps or welfare of one form or another from the government, actually see their well-being being tied to the government and vote that way in the elections. In that case, they are dependent upon government, mentally, psychologically, and physically. Now, I talked about the fact that within the next 2 years, 40% of the country will be dependent upon government health care. It's actually worse than that because of who's covered. In 1990, the government paid 32% of the nation's health care bills. But just 12 years later, in 2012, the government this year will pay over 50% of the health care costs. Today, the federal government runs almost 80 different means-tested welfare programs. And most all of these programs have experienced substantial growth in recent years. It's the rate of growth of these dependency programs, too, that is the most alarming. Yes, we have to have a safety net for those who cannot take care of themselves. But it's absolutely ridiculous that the federal government is financially supporting more than one-third of Americans just through these welfare programs. How much further do things really need to go before we finally admit that America has become a socialist nation? At the rate we are going, it will be way after the nation is crippled, because this welfare mentality has taken us to the point that our debt will destroy the country long before the nation ever admits to its malfeasance. Americans have become addicted to government money. And the word has gotten out to other nations as well, that the U.S. is a place where you can live high at the expense of government. According to a report from the Center for Immigration Studies, 45% of all immigrants that have been in the United States for at least 20 years are still on welfare. And there is no way in the world that the nation can afford this. nor can any European nation that is also going through this same travail. We have rolled up the biggest pile of debt in human history, and our children and our grandchildren are facing a lifetime of endless slavery to that debt. Once again, this year we are facing a federal deficit well over $1 trillion. And in aggregate, we have a national deficit that exceeds $16 trillion. And at this point, when we look at the percentage of debt to GDP, we have to remember that 25% of the GDP, the gross production of America, is the U.S. government. So we actually have private industry producing about $10 trillion worth of gross domestic product, with $16 trillion of annual debt, which puts us exactly where Greece is, bankrupt. Overall, the U.S. national debt has grown more than 37 times larger than it was when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard and we began this experiment with fiat money, money that is based not on an asset, but on a debt. Money has become a liability. We are at nation of debt of addicts because of both political parties. Both parties are responsible for getting us into this mess. And neither party is willing to tell you the truth about it. In our program tomorrow, in this segment of the program, I'm going to devote the entire program to an article that also appeared in the New York Times. It was about those who run for politics in America avoiding telling the truth because Americans don't want to hear the truth. In particular, this article reveals how American politicians are routinely trained to tell Americans how wonderful they are, how great they are, how morally above reproach they are, because it's the only way to get elected. Unless you tell Americans how wonderful they are and how great everything is, you have no chance of prevailing in the polls. That is what's happened to this country. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact.